Hello and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm speaking with Father Angelo Geiger from the Franciscans of the Immaculate at the Friary of Our Lady of Guadalupe here in Griswold, Connecticut. Thank you for joining me today, Father.
You're welcome.
I understand there's some exciting things going on at the Friary. Could you tell us a little bit about your new vlog?
Yeah, vlog, meaning video web blog. Over the last several years with the advent of things like YouTube, which is a internet clearinghouse for video. Anyone can upload their video to the internet as long as it's less than 10 minutes long, and anybody can see it. And they have these things now called viral video, which is basically, a lot of times it's kids and teenagers who've uploaded their video to the internet, and then they start emailing it to people, and before you know it, on YouTube, a single video, a 5 or 6 minute video, which is generally not even very good production qualities, has been viewed, you know, thousands of times, and in some cases millions of times. I think they have some huge number of videos being uploaded to YouTube each month, 100 million or something like that. It's just ridiculous. So internet video has become not only popular, possible and popular very quickly over the last couple of years. So with, you know, over the last 5 years or so, you've had the web phenomenon called the blog, which is basically a website that where there are entries posted by the blogger in chronological order with the latest at the top.
And those are basically word entries.
Word entries, yeah. It could be anybody. Political commentators all have their own blog, and could be a journalist or a religious leader, or just your average Joe.
Yeah.
You know, they call, you know, the pajama media, people who've got sick of the mainstream media and decided they wanted to have their own two cents and have done their own reporting. A lot of the things that happened with the forged document, you know, that had to do with President Bush and his National Guard service was basically discovered by the bloggers. They said, hey, this is a Word document. This wasn't typed, you know, 30 years ago. So it's these kind of people that have created these blogs, and they make their posts, and then people can read it and comment. And you and then, you know, there's a back and forth, and you can link to resource information on other websites, and it's a very dynamic and powerful way of exchanging information. And it's become so popular that a lot of people are getting their information through
the internet
and exchanging it through the blogs in such a way that that the mainstream media, to a large extent, has been, you know, bypassed.
Right.
So our community, the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate, is involved in the mass media. We publish books. We're following the spirituality and charism of St. Maximilian Kolbe, who in his own time was, you know, involved with the printing press and had the largest printing press in Poland at the time, and was involved also in radio and was looking into film at the time. So we've always wanted to be involved in video, and we have sort of in a kind of experimental way over the last 15 years. But we realized as the blogs were developing, and then we saw this explosion of video, and then this thing called the vlog, which is video weblog. Now people, instead of just putting text posts, are now posting video.
Right.
A lot of times they're linking to other people's video or linking to files on YouTube and posting them, and sometimes they're producing their own video and posting it. And then people will look at the video and comment. Generally, these posts are between, you know, 4 and 7 minutes, at the most 10 minutes. But it's a very powerful way of gaining access to people and getting the information out there. So we've thought for some time about having a kind of internet television network, again, because it's relatively easy to do, and and the broadcast costs are small.
Right.
And there's no licensing, you know, no regulation. So we've been planning for some time to do that. And then when the idea of the vlog came up, we said, wow, looks like a good entry level. Because, you know, if you've never actually produced video, you learn very quickly that that editing time, you know, is very costly. You know, for one minute of video, it's at least an hour of editing,
wow.
if not more. It's a lot goes into it. So to have these 4 minute, 7 minute, maybe 10 minute entries produced very quickly with virtually no editing is a very attractive way of of addressing this entry level on the internet. And so that's what we've done.
What kind of videos would a person be able to see on your vlog?
Our vlog is called Air Maria.
Okay.
At airmaria.com. And we had planned to do, you know, at one time just, you know, like conferences that we give at our friary on catechesis, Marian devotion, and one of our great assets, Father Peter Damian Fellner, mm-hmm. who's been here before as a theologian. So we were going to, you know, put some of his theology courses on the web. And then we thought about the vlog, making it simple and short. And so we were planning to have all kinds of different types of programming, from Father Peter, mm-hmm. short bits and pieces of theology, to news commentary, commentary on culture, catechesis, apologetics, you know, something for everyone,
right.
at every level. One of our friars, Friar Joseph, does an apologetics course basically for kids. So
wow.
It's like, you know, five-minute snippets at a time. So what happened was, back in December, we hadn't yet actually formally launched Air Maria, and the Nativity story, the movie, came mm-hmm. out. And I did a review of the movie and introduced the review, which was a text review, with a short vlog about the perpetual virginity of Our
Lady.
I saw
that. It was linked from Spirit Daily.
Yeah. And it got quite a bit of attention. And we immediately realized that you really can get access, you know, just very easily and quickly. And that, you know, we had like 75,000 hits over a weekend. That doesn't mean individual users,
right.
But it was, you know, we were very surprised, pleasantly. So we've been in the process of building our site and getting it up to snuff, and getting our technology together and getting our friars trained to be able to do this. Because what we're basically going to be able to do is we're going to be able to have friars all over America, and even Father Peter in Italy, doing weekly or monthly entries.
Oh, great.
It's very easy, and, you know, it's all done electronically,
great.
On the web, and it's a great medium. So what happened was, on the feast of what would have been the feast of the Annunciation, which was this year on a Sunday, we launched Air Maria formally, and so we're off and running. And our launch got picked up again by Spirit Daily.
Yeah.
And so our, you know, we've gone from an average of about 300 hits a day in the first couple of months of this year to about 600 over the last couple of days. And I think today we had over 1,500 hits.
Wow.
So,
well, that is so exciting.
Yeah, so, you know,
I mean, I've seen it grown over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of exploded all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, we planned with that launch to start releasing these individual blog entries that are a series. You know, each friar will each week be posting an entry.
Oh, that's great.
So it's going well, and today we posted an entry under the title of Religious Liberty Under Fire, which basically is a series of highlights from the testimony of Brian Brown, who of course also has been here number of times, the executive director of the Family Institute of Connecticut, who testified at the public hearing for the raised bill on marriage equality, basically a same-sex marriage bill.
That they promised they didn't, they weren't going to pursue because all they wanted was a civil union.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, this is the incrementalism of the left. And they're very successful at it. But he gave his testimony on Monday, March 26th, and it was a very, very interesting testimony, not only because, you know, his position is crystal clear and well argued, but also because he was questioned about his faith over and over again, and he defended it, but he also made it very clear that what is happening is that religious liberty is being attacked,
right,
in the name of civil rights. It's very, very important to realize this. Most people don't, you know. So I went ahead. Our website's, we want it to be have national
exposure.
Interest. Yeah. So we're not trying to just focus on local things.
Right.
In fact, we rarely do.
But this is a huge issue globally.
And a lot of people don't realize. They think, well, there's the federal DOMA, and we've passed a law defending marriage, a constitutional amendment or whatever. And they don't realize the extent to which their religious liberty is under threat.
Threatened. I know.
It's threatened. It's in a certain way, although, the passage of the Civil Unions Bill last year here in Connecticut was not a good thing.
Right.
And most of those who were against the Civil Unions Bill, I don't think, this is not true in the legislature, but I think among the average people, didn't support, they didn't want the bill with or without the amendment,
right,
of the with the definition of marriage.
But
that Civil Unions Bill, and then it passing with the definition of marriage being brought back into the public square so quickly, with them wanting full same-sex marriage, really makes it clear what's happening.
Yeah.
They have all the civil, they have all the rights and
right.
benefits of marriage. They don't get all the federal benefits, but there's a DOMA anyway.
Right.
Even if they had full same-sex marriage here in Connecticut, they wouldn't get the benefits of the
until they took it to the Supreme Court.
Exactly. And they made it clear. They said exactly, we want the title
that.
Marriage here,
yeah.
so that we can yeah. challenge the federal DOMA.
Yeah.
They made that. They said it explicitly.
And
Stanbeck.
You only have to go back 30-some years to realize the states that had passed laws against abortion, and in one fell swoop, they were all tossed out when the Supreme Court overturned, supported Roe v. Wade.
Exactly.
So this is exactly what we were saying from the beginning. You know, it doesn't matter whether you pass the civil unions law or you pass the marriage law. It's going to be decided in the Supreme Court, and we've got to stop it right here. Because all those people whose will was to keep their states a marriage of a man and a woman, they're going to have all of their rights usurped
right.
once it's taken to the Supreme Court.
It went even beyond that, though, because they made it clear over and over again that, we have all the rights and benefits of marriage, but we don't have the respect that we deserve. We don't have the equality, and this is they're arguing that this is a civil rights issue, and they compare it to the laws which prevented the races from marrying, intermarrying, that were overturned. But they want to completely redefine marriage. And reject the traditional definition, which would ipso facto make the defense of marriage, traditional marriage,
right.
as a union of one man and one woman, a form of discrimination. They
right.
want to define our defense of marriage as a form of bigotry.
Right.
And they made it clear. It was made it very, very, very clear. And so Brian Brown got attacked for, his Catholic faith. They basically said, the position of Michael Lawler was basically that it's only people who believe that homosexuals are intrinsically evil and objectively disordered persons. It's people like that who want to define marriage as the union of a man and a woman. And it's the people that believe in the dignity of homosexual persons that want to see them have the right to marry. And so he said, do you believe that, like the church teaches, that homosexuals are intrinsically evil and objectively disordered? And Brian said, you know, that's not what
the church teaches,
first of all. But he kept asking this question over and over again.
Did Brian bring his faith into it?
Well, he wasn't bashful about admitting. Yeah, he said, I believe what the church teaches, but he says my arguments are rational.
Right. He wasn't the first one to come up and talk about his faith.
No,
they questioned his faith right away.
Oh yeah. It's just amazing, that they completely basically ignored his answers and just sort of, you know, like there would be some doubt as to his position after he had stated explicitly, very clearly, several times, kept asking the question as though there was some doubt to his position,
right.
You know, meaning, you know, it was just a very surreal and scary thing. And he also considered the fact that the two chairs, the chair and the two chairs of the Judiciary Committee are both homosexual.
Yeah, yeah.
And both are the ones who have introduced these bills.
Right.
So there's no fair play, and to me it seems very unethical that they should be the ones. And so if they had made an effort to be fair,
right?
You know, I would just say from the point of view of fairness, I wouldn't
right.
complain. But for Mike Lawler,
I know
to level
else,
this line
yeah,
of questioning
yeah.
towards it was scary.
Yeah.
It really is.
So it sounds like this is a really good clip for people to see.
It's less
over.
Than 10 minutes. And it includes some interviews that we got from Brian back when we had the rally at the Capitol. And it's about religious liberty. And it's very enlightening as to what's going on in this state, but also at large in the country,
yeah.
in regard to religious liberty. There is a real threat, you know, to our religious liberty under the title of same-sex marriage. You know, in Canada, there are hate laws. There was one girl there, Dawn. I can't remember her last name, but she was a child of a homosexual father, and she grew up in very, very difficult circumstances. Her father had multiple partners. She was exposed to everything, you know, transgender, all kinds of stuff. And she's had to deal with it over the years. She's had to go into counseling, and she eventually came out, and she's talked about it. And she came to testify at the Capitol, and she says, you know, I can't say the things that I'm saying here in Canada.
Wow.
I could be prosecuted. She said, at a legislature, if it had to do with testimony, she may have been okay, but if she had said it in the press or anything like that,
wow.
there would be hate law. You know, there are hate laws there.
And that's what the Senate is trying to do right now. You know, Ted Kennedy is like all over, you know, these hate laws. You know,
yeah.
anything that you say, you know, anything that you just quote from the Bible
yeah.
can be construed as hate speech.
Yeah.
And so it's
There's
not
that
just
pr- that pastor in Sweden who was preaching on Romans chapter 1 who was fined and jailed. You know, so it's absolutely their goal is basically to criminalize the gospel. You know, ultimately, what
so it's really not just about homosexuality and gay marriage. It's
no,
it's about
definitely anti-Catholic. So Brian answered the question about, you know, do you believe that homosexuals are intrinsic? You know, and Brian was saying, you know, I believe in charity and all the things the church teaches. And he says, so you believe that it, you know, and I believe in respecting people. He said, so you believe, Lawler said, that to say that, that a certain group of people are intrinsically evil and objectively disordered is a respectful thing to say. So he's
did
thinking,
he say that? Did I say that? No, I didn't
no,
say that.
he did. He said you can, you know, he said this is a show trial. But it was clear that Michael Lawler, you know, is anti-Catholic. You know,
so what exactly is the church's teaching on homosexuality. Let's make it very clear.
The church teaches that the acts of, you know, homosexuality are sinful, but it also teaches that
sodomy is sodomy,
whether it's between same-sex couples or heterosexual couples, and church also teaches against premarital sex, adultery, yep. contraception. You know, the church has strict laws on sexual behavior, so it's not a kind of teaching that is exclusively referred to homosexuals. However, the church does teach that the orientation, the right. inclination to commit these sins, is intrinsically evil and disordered. But the inclination to any sin is evil.
Right.
You know,
someone who's inclined to murder is
inclined, you know, to adultery.
Right.
That's an evil inclination.
Right.
So. But it doesn't label any group of people or any individual right. as evil. Our Lord came to save sinners. Our Lord came, you know, to bring us forgiveness. He also calls us to repentance.
Right.
You know, and our Lord came into the world and instituted the church in order to bring about the forgiveness of sin and bring us all into heaven. But that also means, you know, that we have to preach the truth.
Yeah.
You know, our Lord was willing to die for the truth. And he was uncompromising when it came to sin, but he did it because he loved us.
Right. And yeah. and the loving thing is to not accept sin as normal and just fine and dandy. It's to point out the fact that this is sin, call you know, sin a sin, and lovingly try to help people to not sin.
Right.
So if we accept we embrace these types of things into our society, like we have abortion, we're not loving people
right.
by allowing them to sin.
Right. You know, they'll immediately bring up the religious aspect. Well, you're saying all this because you're religious. You know, so it comes back always to an attitude towards God and the whole idea of separation of church and state. You know, we say separation of church and state is freedom
to practice
religion. And they're saying it's freedom from religion.
You
know, we know what our tradition is. This is really a conflict of culture and of tradition.
Yeah.
And
they're not going to be happy until they have eliminated religion altogether from the public sector.
Right.
You know, I mean, that is the whole goal, because, you know, they're not going to get their agenda passed if we, you know, insist on being religious zealots.
Religious people have to realize that religion, and Christianity in particular, Catholicism, is the guardian of common sense.
Right.
You know, the argument that Brian Brown was making is a very simple one. As I said, you know, children do better with a mom and a dad, and we need to encourage and protect that arrangement, that institution.
Right.
As unique for that very reason. But it's, you know, it takes a religious person to say that, you know, and the more secular society becomes, the more they lose their common sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And nobody there among those who were supporting marriage equality were willing to say, you know, you're right, you know, this is a unique institution and it's important that we protect this institution of marriage as a union of a man and a woman, because it's in the best interest of children.
And
none
society.
Of them, none of them were willing to say that. You know, so...
Well, it's all a matter of selfishness. You know, I mean, it's what I want, and no one's going to keep me from getting what I want.
Yeah.
And, you know, to heck with everybody else.
Yeah.
So who is the one who's really being, you know, selfish and hateful?
Yeah. You know, they have largely this, the left has control of the information, or still has, you know, largely does, and the internet, fortunately, is a way around that. It's a complete bypass.
Right.
You know, it's an end run, and so we're really, really excited about the potential of Air Maria. You know, as many of the bloggers and vloggers, you know, are utilizing the power of the internet to make information available to people that otherwise would not be available.
Right.
So now we have an opportunity, you know, to bring the faith to people in a very easy way. You know, we're not EWTN by any means, but
yet.
but the thing is that this technology allows you to produce and even produce quality material at a fraction of the cost, and it also allows for greater interactivity. And I think this is the direction that television is going anyway. It's going to become, you know, the lines between television and the internet have become more and more blurred,
right,
as time goes on.
Right.
More integrated.
And you probably won't even have just a PC. It'll just be all attached to your big screen television.
Something like that, yeah. It's definitely going in that direction.
How has the response been as far as, you say you have ability to post comments? Have you been able to view those?
Yeah, we have comments and you know, we're responding to them. We don't have as many as we would like. You know, part of it was before we actually had this launch, we were posting our homilies in the mm-hmm. main directory, and I think some of them are long, and I think probably that really what didn't encourage people to post. So we still have the homilies there, so anybody who's been watching, the homilies are still there. There's a link to the homilies on the side, but they don't fall into the main category there on the front page. And I think as more people hear about Air Maria, we'll get more people mm-hmm. posting comments on the site.
Well, it's got a lot of information and a lot of really good videos, because I've been on there several times.
And we're getting our feet wet, you know.
Yeah.
We're, you know, anybody has a comment to make, we're open to criticism. So, you know, but we're just dove into it, you know, and we'll figure it out as time goes on.
Well, the Brian Brown video sounds like it's a must-see. That,
yeah.
You know, really, and it doesn't matter whether you're in Connecticut
the
or
Catholic
outside
League,
of Connecticut.
I sent an email to the Catholic League, and they're gonna post a link to it on their website, and FIC has one there, and hopefully LifeSite will get one out.
That's
as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much for talking
you.
To us today. Thank you. We hope that you'll go to airmaria.com and watch some...
A-I-R.
Oh, yes.
Air Maria.
And watch some of the videos and post your comments. We hope that you've learned something. We hope that you go and talk to your friends and family about things that you've learned. And we hope that when you look in the mirror the next time, you'll realize yours is the face of pro-life. Join us again next time.